truly desire your prayers. I'd like for you to turn with me, please, to the book of Ephesians, the 5th chapter. And I want to begin reading at verse 14 down through verse 17. Ephesians 5, 14 through 17. The writer said, wherefore, he saith,
Awake thou that sleepest,
yes,
and arise from the dead,
amen,
and Christ shall give thee light.
Yes.
See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise.
Yes.
Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is.
Amen. Now the burden that's on our heart, and the thought that I'd like for us to consider as a subject, redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. Now, but first of all, want to consider some of the thoughts that the writer mentioned prior to this. Here the writer is encouraging, instructing, advising, counseling, and admonishing us to walk circumspectly,
yes,
cautiously,
yes,
watchful. The word circumspect means literally looking on every side. If we are looking on every side, we can foresee the dangers that are about us, and we can avoid those dangers. Now, the Lord doesn't want us to step into the trap of the devil before we see it. He doesn't want us to fall into the snare and into the pitfall, and then we realize we're in a snare and a pitfall. The Lord doesn't want us to walk right into the midst of the enemy, or the enemy advance upon us and get us by the throat, so to speak, in a spiritual sense, before we see the enemy. The Lord wants us to foresee the evil. The Bible said a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. So the Lord wants us to walk circumspectly. He's encouraging us to examine carefully all of the circumstances. Now, the word circumstance means everything that stands around or near us that would affect, that would act upon, that would influence or produce a change in our determination.
Yes.
There are things, dear ones, around us, if we don't carefully examine those things, we may be determined to live for God. I thought about the song poet saying, I mean to go right on until the crown is won. I mean to fight the fight of faith till life on earth is done. I'll never more turn back. Defeat I shall not know. For God will give me victory if onward I shall go. Do you know there are many people that have had that very determination to start out with, but because they were not careful to examine the circumstances and all of those things that were around them and discern whether this thing is evil or whether it's good, whether it will affect me or not, somewhere along the way, it produced a change in their determination.
Yes.
And people give up, gave the Lord up, go back out into sin, or they end up with just an empty profession and no possession because something influenced, something acted upon, something produced a change in their determination. Now, the writer is also encouraging us to examine carefully those things around us that would affect the measures that we have embraced or adopted. Now, the measures mean the standards of the judgments.
Yeah.
Now, there are standards that we embrace when we get saved. But if we're not very careful, there are things around us that will affect the standards that we embrace and that we hold. There are things that can cause the standard to lower, cause it to come down, where we compromise the standard that we have embraced. Or there are things around us that can cause it to go up where we actually get to a state of fanaticism, going beyond the standard that God set. So the writer is saying here that we need to examine carefully things around us that would affect the standards that we've adopted or embraced, and also the judgments. When we get saved by God's Holy Spirit and through the Word of God, we began to lay judgment on certain things. There are certain things that, with the understanding that we get from God's Word and God's Spirit, we see the wickedness and the corruption of those things, and we lay condemnation on it because God's Word and God's Spirit have placed condemnation on it. Or there are certain things that we justify because the Word and the Spirit have justified it. But if we're not careful to examine everything around us, there are things that can affect our judgment. And things that I one time saw as being corrupt and wicked and sinful, they don't seem so bad anymore. Something has affected my judgment. Or some things that I counted at one time, because God had so enlightened the eyes of my understanding, I counted those things as being precious and valuable and priceless, but now I don't see them as being so valuable anymore. Something has affected my judgment. The writer went on to say here, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools." Now the word fool, the dictionary said, a fool is one who pursue a course contrary to the dictates of wisdom. Yes. Now, wisdom is a blessed thing. Wisdom will instruct us, counsel us, advise us, and it'll lead us in right paths. But it said a fool is one that will go contrary to the dictates of wisdom. I thought about Samson and Delilah. It is without doubt that wisdom advised, counseled, and instructed this man, Samson. Don't flirt with, don't tease, don't play with the enemy of your soul.
Yes.
Don't flirt with death.
Yes.
With danger.
Yes.
And with destruction. I'm persuaded that God dealt with this man's eternity-bound soul. Samson, don't gamble with the most valuable, the most precious, the most priceless, the most important of all your possessions. Don't gamble with your soul. Now, Samson wasn't just simply dealing with Delilah. There was a force and a power that Samson was dealing with that actually governed and controlled Delilah. Delilah was a puppet in the hands of a greater power. She was an agent of the enemy of all souls. And the devil, working behind the scene and working through Delilah, was out to destroy Samson. That same devil is out to destroy you and me.
Yes, yes.
And if we're not careful, the Lord is encouraging us and instructing us, don't walk as fools. Don't pursue a course that's contrary to the dictates of wisdom. When wisdom advises you and counsels you and instruct you, obey it.
Yes.
Follow it.
Yes.
It'll bring you out in a good place. I thought about Saul and his dealings with the Amalekites. The Lord told Saul, "I want you to go down and war against Amalek. Utterly destroy all that pertain to that nation of people." But Saul went down. He disobeyed God. He didn't fully carry out the command of God. He spared the best of the sheep and the oxen, and he spared King Agag. But I'm persuaded, dear ones, that wisdom advised this man.
Yes.
And counseled him.
Yes.
Saul, don't pursue that course.
Yes.
Do what God told you to do, and do it the way God told you to do it. If you do what God instructed you to do the way He told you to do it, there's a reward. There are blessings that go along with it. But if you rebel, and if you go contrary to the will and word and way of God, you're bringing yourself under the wrath of God, under the rod of God, under the judgments of God. You're opening yourself up to destruction. So the Lord here again counseling us, don't walk as fools. When wisdom advises you, follow the advice. Another definition for fool, it said one who spends time in idleness. The word idle means inactive, doing nothing, empty, not engaged in any occupation or employment. It's foolish to waste precious time. God did not intend for us to waste this time that He's blessed us with. Turn with us to the book of St. Luke, the 12th chapter, reading verses 16 through 19, please.
And He spake a parable unto them, saying,
yes,
the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plenty.
Yes.
And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to store my fruit? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barn and build greater.
Yes.
And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take thine eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided?
Amen. Now, many people looking at this man's life would say that his time was well spent.
Yes.
He used it wisely. And the result was that he accumulated great wealth. But here is a point, dear ones. Time spent without eternal value to it is time wasted. Time spent without eternal value is time wasted. In 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, and verse 3.
Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor,
and though I give my body to be burned,
and have not charity,
it profiteth me nothing. I can labor until the setting of life's sun, and all that I accumulate, I can take it and use it with charitable means in maybe doing for the poor, and maybe the means of saving many people from starvation, helping many people in different ways. But do you not know that if it was all for the flesh, and if there was no spiritual benefit to it, all that I've done was vain? That time was wasted. It will not profit me at all when I stand before God in the day of judgment to say, Lord, look at all that I've done. I fed the poor, I did this, I did that. But that time was time wasted. It had no eternal value to it. It only dealt with the fleshly part of man. We want to go beyond the flesh and deal with the spirit. In the book of St. Luke, the 15th chapter, verses 11 through 19, please. You know, a life that's spent in sin is time wasted.
Yes, it is.
It's time wasted.
And he said,
yes,
a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.
Yes.
And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed swine.
Yes.
And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.
I thought about the song poet saying, I've wasted many precious years. but now I'm coming home. I now repent with bitter tears, Lord, I'm coming home. Again, time in sin is time wasted. But when an individual see their condition as this young man did, humble themselves and repent of their sins, and God blot out their transgressions. What happens sometime is people, as they look back over their life, they begin to grieve of all the time that they have wasted in sin. But God doesn't want us to just look back over our life and grieve over the wasted time. And on the other hand, some people, as they look back and they realize, I've wasted a lot of precious time, and they think, well, it's gone now. There's nothing I can do about it. But not so. The writer said, I want you to redeem the time.
Yes.
I want you to redeem the time.
Yes.
The word redeem means to make up for.
Yes.
It means to recover. It means to buy back.
Yes.
It means to also employ to the best advantage.
Yes.
I'd like to present a little thought here that may help us to understand a little better the thought that we're trying to bring out about redeeming the time. I thought about, well, even when I was growing up, living out in the country, and a lot of times people didn't have good transportation like they have now, still using some wagons and teams and things of that nature, and maybe the parents would be going to go to town and or maybe going to visit some neighbors, and it would take quite a span of time living out in the country by horseback or by wagon to get to town or to go and visit neighbors. But the parents call the children together and let them know that we're fixing to go to town and lay out the chores for those children to do, and I want this done when I return. And the parents go on their way. The children get involved in playing, or they slip off and go swimming or whatever the case might be, and the time get away from them.
Yes.
And then they realize it's almost time for mother and dad to come back.
Yes.
We haven't gotten our chores done. And those children would get busy.
Yes.
And maybe in 45 minutes they've done 2 hours worth of work. They were redeeming the time.
Yes.
We've got to get in a hurry, see?
Yes.
We've lost a lot of time, and mother and father's about to come back, and these chores are not done, and we know the result. And so they would get busy, and maybe a two-hour job was completed in 45 minutes. Now, had those children done the work as they should have done it, maybe they could have done so much and taken a break and had some time to enjoy themselves and come back and finish. But now we don't have time to take a break. We've got to get down to business. Oh, listen, every one of us, saved and unsaved, we've wasted much precious time.
Yes.
And we need to redeem that time.
Yes.
We need to recover that time.
Yes.
We need to make up for that time. In the book of Psalms, the first chapter, verses 1 and 2, please.
Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly,
yes,
nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor seeth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night.
Lord, I've wasted some precious time. What can I do to recover that? What can I do to make it up? You know what we have to do? We have to work overtime. The writer mentioned here, in his law doth he meditate day and night. To make that time up and recover it, I'm going to have to work overtime now. Can't just do it in the daytime. I'm going to have to work at night too. The Lord is wanting us to make up and recover that time. I want you to ponder. I want you to meditate. I want you to think upon my word, upon my will, and upon my way. And I want you to do it day and night. We're redeeming the time. Wasted. Time that I should have been meditating, pondering, thinking on the things of God, I was doing other things. Now, Lord, I need you to help me to make up that time. Yes. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17, please.
Pray without ceasing.
Pray without ceasing.
Yeah.
I've wasted some time, precious time, Lord. And now I want to recover that time. I want to make it up. How can I make up the wasted time? The Lord is telling us to pray without ceasing. It doesn't mean that we go around verbally speaking words all day. But I want you to live in a spirit and in the attitude of prayer. I want a prayer to be in your heart at all times. Petitions, thanksgivings, supplication, I want it constantly and continually in your heart. And all along with that, I want you to often steal away, get in a quiet place, and pour out your heart and soul and mind to me. We're redeeming the time. I've wasted a lot of time that I could have been praying and seeking God's face in prayer. Now, Lord, I want to recover that time. All right, I want you to pray without ceasing.
Yes.
Turn with me to 2 Timothy, the second chapter and verse 15, please.
Study to shew thyself approved unto God.
Yes.
A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Now, we've wasted a lot of time. And now, we're wanting to recover it. Time that you and I should have been studying God's word. I thought about how there are people, a lot of times, things that they should know, things that they should understand about the doctrine and about the standard, they don't know it. They don't understand it because they wasted time. They were not employed and occupied in studying God's word and pursuing after the things of God. And as a result, they lack knowledge and understanding in certain things. Lord, I should be better acquainted with you. I should know more about the leading of the Holy Ghost. But Lord, I don't know it because I've wasted precious time. Time that I had to get acquainted with you. Time that I had to learn about the Holy Spirit. I was occupied in other things. Lord, I've wasted some time. And I want to redeem that time and recover it. What can I do? The Lord is encouraging us, study. Study. The word study means to endeavor. Endeavor diligently and zealously. To endeavor means that effort is put forth. You are exerting yourself. The Bible said much study is a weariness of the flesh. Do you know to study, it takes something. Mm-hmm. We're not simply talking about reading a few verses. We're talking about studying.
Yes.
Putting forth the effort diligently. The word diligent means a careful, continual effort.
Yes.
Not a hit and miss where maybe I really get down to business and I study for 2 or 3 days or so. I just really study. And then maybe for the next couple of 2 or 3 weeks, hardly touch my Bible. No. I want it constantly, continually, a constant, continual effort. And I want it done zealously, fervently. I want you to pursue the study of God's Word fervently and hotly. To study means to read carefully, prayerfully, thoughtfully, with our heart open to God. Lord, would you reveal your truth to me? Open up my understanding. Help me to get a hold to what you're trying to get a hold, trying to get over to me. To study, it's line upon line. It's precept upon precept. It's here a little and there a little. We can be maybe reading in the book of Genesis, And as we read a certain scripture, the Lord will carry our mind over into the book of Corinthians or some other book. And here these lines connect together. We've got line upon line. We've got precept upon precept.
Yes.
Here's some in the Old Testament. Here's some in the New Testament. Yes. Here's some in this book. Here's some in that book. Studying. I'm doing it to recover some lost time. Time that I should have been studying to get acquainted with God. I was involved in other things. But Lord, I want to regain that time. I want to make it up. Turn with us to Hebrews, the 5th chapter, reading verses 12 through 14, please. When for the time ye ought to be teachers.
You have need that one teach you again.
You have need that one teach you again.
Which be the first principles and oracles of God.
Yes.
And are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat.
Yes.
For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe.
Yes.
The strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil.
Yes, amen. Now, there are some precious souls that have wasted much time.
Yes.
I've been saved 10, 20, 30 years. And I'm still drinking milk, unable to eat strong meat. When for the time we ought to be teaching, we have need that someone teach us the first principles of the oracles of God. Still dealing with justification, sanctification, laying on of hands, resurrection from the dead, baptism. When you should be daddling someone on your knee, someone has to take you and daddle you on their knee.
Yes.
When you should be able to help with the work of the Lord, those that are in positions where they are bearing burdens, and you should be able to get right in and help bear those burdens, someone is having to carry a burden for you. Lord, I've wasted much precious time. Now what can I do, Lord, to make that time up, to recover it? The Lord is saying, I want you to exercise your senses.
Yes.
As we exercise our senses, spiritual senses, we grow, we advance, we increase, we progress in the things of God. I want you to exercise your mind to discern good and evil. As we exercise our mind and the eyes of our understanding, we're able to discern some things, and we're able to see that, no, we can hear things, our ears with the ears, and it registers, that's not of God. Exercising those senses in the mind as we meditate and ponder upon certain things, and the devil is very crafty. Very cunning, very shrewd. And he doesn't always just make things totally where anybody could pick it up. The devil will get things so close to the truth that if you and I don't have some real spiritual discernment, if the Holy Spirit is not present in our heart and in our life to work with us, we'll find that we have embraced some things that's damaging and destroying.
Yes.
It'll destroy us. It was so close. It was so close to the truth. But it was tainted with just a little poison. And we'll find those things will damage and destroy us. I want you to exercise your mind, your spiritual eyes, and your spiritual ears. I want you to exercise your spiritual taste. As we read certain things, certain types of literature, we can realize, no, that doesn't taste like truth.
Amen.
That doesn't taste like truth.
Amen.
And we reject it.
Yes.
We push it off, see? Exercising ourselves to discern good and evil. Exercising ourselves in prayer, in testimony. Do you know, dear ones, that these things cause you to grow in grace.
Yes, I do.
And the Lord is not concerned about how well you pray. He is not at all concerned about the use of flowery words and whether you can pray like brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so and whether you can use scripture in your prayer and all. God is not concerned about that. God is concerned about the sincere desire of your heart. Lord, I need help. Or whether it's Thanksgiving or whatever it is, that's what God is concerned about, dear ones.
Yes.
Testimonies. You don't have to have a long testimony. You don't have to have a testimony filled with scripture. But the Lord kept me saved. God blessed my soul. I thank the Lord for it. That's what God is concerned about. And these things will help you to grow. It'll help you to advance in the things of God. Taking an active part in Bible study.
Yes.
Asking questions. Making comments. But people are afraid, well, I might be wrong. Well, if you're wrong, that's all right. There's someone there to correct you and put you on the right track. It's better to expose something and find out that you're wrong than to keep it and go on with something that's wrong. So the Lord is wanting us to exercise. Another thing, exercise yourself in saying amen to the Word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory. That's Zion language.
Amen. Yes.
Exercise yourself in that. It'll yes. give you some courage. It'll give you some boldness. And not only will it help you, it'll help others.
Yes.
Do you know, dear ones, when sinners come in among us, and maybe the Word of God is being preached or taught, and it's anointed by the Holy Spirit, but no one's hardly saying anything, they begin to wonder, do those folks really believe what they are teaching? But do you know amens will cause them to realize these people really believe that.
Yes.
It must be something to it.
Yes.
And it began to affect them. See?
Yes.
Now all of this we're talking about, we're still dealing with redeeming the time. I've wasted a lot of time and now the Lord is telling me how to recover that time. How to get that time, buy it back. By exercising my spiritual senses. In the book of Revelation, the 3rd chapter, verses 14 through 18, please. Yes, through 18, please.
And after the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth.
There are precious souls that have wasted much precious time in a lukewarm condition, just kind of drifting along, in a state of self-deception, making themselves believe that they're spiritual, they're in touch and in tune with God. These people said, now we are rich, we're increased with good, we don't need anything. But Jesus, looking down upon their life, saw a different picture. He saw them as being miserable, wretched, poor, naked, and blind. And he counseled them to buy of me gold tried in the fire, and white raiment, that the shame of your nakedness did not appear.
Yes.
There are precious souls that have wasted time just hypocriting, pretending, going along, professing to be what they are not, and professing to have what they don't have. That's a waste of time.
Yes, it is.
It's a waste of time. Now, Lord, I've wasted time in a lukewarm condition. I've wasted time hypocriting. How can I make up for that lost time? Number one, the Lord is encouraging and instructing precious souls, get rid of the fool's gold. Get rid of that. It's glittering, but it's no value to it. So cast it aside. Put it off. Pay a Bible price. Get pure gold. Get something that'll stand the test. Get something that'll stand the judgment shot. Get some white raiment. Get that life pure, clean, spotless. Anoint your eyes with eye salve. I want you to be able to see spiritual things. Be zealous. Repent. Acknowledge. Lord, I just didn't have it. I need your mercy. I need your blessings. And begin to dig. Begin to dig. Begin to get down to real business with God. Become employed full time in the service of God. There are people that want to work part time for God. We can't do it. We can't do it. It's full time employment or no employment for God. Full time will cause God to pour out His blessings upon your heart and my heart. God to smile upon us. It'll cause our life to be blessed and to be a blessing. Amen. Redeeming the time. Lord, I've wasted time. I want to recover that time. I want to do something for you. I want to be something for you. Let's get our heart in tune with God, and God will bless our souls. In Matthew, the 25th chapter, verses 1 through 9, please.
Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins.
Yes.
Which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps.
Yes.
While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves.
One of the definitions that we read for redeem said to employ to the best advantage. Yes. Now, the present time, the time that God is giving us now, not only do we want to redeem and make up and recover the past time, but we want to employ this time to the best advantage. Yes. Want to use it wisely. These 5 foolish virgins failed to employ their time to the best advantage. Sometime, if we're not careful, we can be in a hurry, or we are caught up with the cares of life and things of that nature, and we don't take the proper time to fill our vessels with the added oil and grace that we need. Well, I believe I have enough to do me, and we just kind of pass over and forget to, well, we don't forget, we just neglect to take the proper time to fill that extra vessel. And we take a chance on that which we have lasting. But we need to use the time that God have given us wisely. We need to use that time to trim our lamps. Get our life in order. The Holy Ghost is faithful to you and me. And the Lord will put His finger upon things in your life and in my life. And He'll let us know, I want you to take care of these matters. Yeah. I want you to lay aside every weight. Here's something that's a hindrance to you. It'll keep you from advancing in spiritual things as you should. It'll keep you from being what I want you to be. It'll hinder our relationship. I want you to lay this thing aside. I want you to pluck out that eye. I want you to cut off that hand or that foot. These are things that will offend you. It'll keep you from walking uprightly before me. And I want you to separate yourself. We need to take time. When the Spirit of God put His hand upon something in our life, We need to use the time that God have given us to take care of the matters of our soul.
Yes.
We won't always have that opportunity. Those five foolish virgins, there come a time that time ran out.
Yes.
And they could not, they didn't have that opportunity. So I want to encourage us, dear ones, to let's use the time that God has given us. Let's employ it to the very best advantage. Let's use it to dig down to deeper depths and to climb up to higher heights and to get better acquainted with God and with His Spirit as we journey through this dark and sinful world. In closing, in Luke, the second chapter, verses 42 through 49, please.
And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast.
Yes.
And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions.
Mm-hmm.
And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business?
Now Christ, at 12 years old, was about his father's business. God have a plan for every person's life. And God have a certain amount of work allotted for us to do within that span from the time, the age of accountability, until the time that you and I draw our last breath.
Yeah.
Christ had 33 years here on earth, and God had a certain amount of work allotted for him in that span time.
That's right.
Now, suppose Christ had waited until he was 20 years old to begin to do his work. He would have wasted a span of 8 years there.
Yes.
And now he's going to have to really press to make up this other time within that span of, 13 years left. God wants us to take advantage of the time that he's given to us. This is why, dear ones, we don't want to come down to the end of life's journey and look back over our life and have regrets that I've left something unfinished. I've left something undone. God wanted me to do this. He wanted me to do that. And I failed to do it. And it's unfinished. But let's take advantage of the time that God has given us, the time that's been wasted. We don't want to grieve over that and about all the wasted time, and we don't want to come to the point that we just think, well, it's wasted, nothing I can do about it. Let's recover it.
Yes.
Let's make up that time. Let's buy it back. But that time that we have now, let's use it to the best advantage. Amen.